With Christmas in the rearview mirror and New Year's Day just hours from us, Siegel, well, welcome everybody into another edition of the Backstretch Podcast. Any New Year's resolutions for yourself?
New Year's Day tomorrow. This is our New Year's Eve edition. At my age, I've made every resolution I could possibly make and break, so I don't think I'll be doing that anymore. I do have a prediction, but I'm going to wait until later in the program to make it, okay?
Okay.
Because we'll talk about a particular topic later in the podcast on our topics for discussion. And when I get to it, that's when I will make my prediction. But I don't want to tip anybody until then, because I want people to listen. You know, that's the tease, right?
I'm with you on the resolutions. I'm done with resolutions. I have the last couple of years done Dry January, and everyone's like, oh, you must feel so much better. No, it's overrated, but I'll do it anyway. So it'll be Dry January for me, which really isn't much of a big deal.
I'm like dry 21st century.
Yeah,
so.
you're dry all the time. All right, so let's talk about opening weekend.
Yeah. And
basically, it was great.
I thought it was.
Maybe it should just be the first Saturday after Christmas every year, which will be next year because Christmas falls on a Friday.
Well, that's an excellent point. I do think that next year, as you pointed out, they're going to open up the day after Christmas, which was traditional here at Santa Anita, and it comes on Saturday. And I think they'll have a big day next year, as we had this year. And I think at this stage, why not just make the first Saturday the opening after Christmas, because whenever it comes, because people can look forward to that. They know they're off on Saturday. I think that in the future, I think we'll see that. We'll certainly see it again next year. And then the following year, I think we'll come to a conclusion that opening Saturday is the best way to go.
It was almost like a super Saturday with seven stakes races. And we'll get to Mike Smith in just a moment. But almost 30 million wagered. That is the highest, second highest in Santa Anita history on handle.
No, I mean,
that's
the first,
fantastic.
Well, the first 2 days they'd handled 30, but the first day was 19 million, which was, as you pointed out, the second highest. So they're still, and of course, the card demanded good wagering because it was challenging and it was good and high quality. And I think that's the way to go. I like these big days where you can kind of focus, and of course, opening day at Santa Anita is always a big day. But, I mean, we really piled on the stakes, and I thought it was fantastic. It was a good program. It was safe, which is what we want, safe on Sunday as well. Excellent competition. So I think we're off to a good start. And I think looking at the card for opening for New Year's Day on Wednesday and then what we're expecting to see on Saturday, I think the momentum's going to carry over at least for a while, because this is exciting, I think.
And we need to congratulate Mike Smith, all-time winningest Grade 1 jockey with 217, besting Jerry Bailey's 216. And Mike really got quite emotional in a lot of the post-race interviews and simply saying that he's blessed. We know he's blessed. But did this make up for Breeders' Cup, perhaps?
I think so, because there's always going to be Breeders' Cups, you know, every year. But to be the number one jockey in the history of racing in Grade 1 races, which is our best races, obviously, and for him to be able to claim that, I think that's a very impressive accomplishment. Maybe more so than winning the most races, because, I mean, you can do that if you're going to the bush tracks or smaller circuits and, you know, not riding against the best competition. So number of wins to me isn't as impressive to me as the number of best races you win, and the best races are the Grade 1. So I think this is a rather significant milestone.
I think it's fantastic. And also, Mike basically now is the benchmark for what all good young jockeys should aspire to be. He's well-spoken. He never has a bad day. If he does, he hides it very, very well. And he's the type of guy that you need to lead the forefront. I think him and Johnny V are at the forefront of our sport. And what we need are good spokespeople. And they are certainly some of the best in the business.
No question. And they've been around a long time now. And they've proven their talents over many, many years. And both are on top of their game. And certainly Mike is. And Mike's picking his spots now, and which he should. But he is always going to be in high demand because of his skill set and his ability to deliver when you need to deliver in the best races. So, again, congratulations to Mike. Many more Grade Ones in his future, I am sure. We will see how the year plays out for him and the rest of the jockeys here on the local circuit.
Second Grade One on the card for him did come in the Grade One Malibu with Omaha Beach. did he really just stamp himself? Because there was no way he was losing this race from the onset. Mike was like a statue on him, turning for home. The only horse closing was Roadster, who ran a distant second to him. But Omaha Beach was simply fantastic.
Well, he won so easily. I mean, that's the main thing. The 101 buyer number, not a career top, but he didn't have to be. Omaha Beach outside kind of just kind of loped along, took the lead without even taking a deep breath on the turn, opened up and won by almost three lengths, maybe using about 50% of his energy in the process. But we have seen the last of Omaha Beach, at least in California. There is one more race on his agenda, but he is headed to Florida now, right?
He's gone already. He jumped on the plane this morning. Dick Mandela saying his rider, Taylor Cambra, will join him in a couple of days. Got some of his best men gone down with him. And it seems an odd decision to send him down so early. And, I mean, it's a Stoner Group track as well. And I'm wondering if maybe they want people on the East Coast to get a glimpse of what we see each and every day from Omaha Beach for a breeding standpoint, because he's going straight to the breeding shed as soon as he runs in the Pegasus. But he's gone and he's left early, and that's the last time we'll get to see him, which is a shame.
It really is, and I don't think this is Richard Mandela's decision. He likes to have horses in his own shed row and then maybe fly them back. He certainly had enough success doing that. But as you pointed out, Omaha Beach is Florida Brown, and he will train up to the Pegasus World Cup at Gulfstream Park, after which he will be retired to stud. Prematurely, I may add, in my opinion, but it's not my money, so I can say that. But the Warfront Colt, who has won first or second 9 out of 10 times, never off the board, and has won now 5 out of his last 6. Zoe, in his grade one win in the Malibu, did he pick up any votes, you think?
I know people that have voted for him, for sure.
Now, he's got a chance to be in the mix for three-year-old, obviously, although both of us think Maximum Security has done enough to secure that. I guess you could make a case for Champion Sprinter, although Matoli probably has that locked up.
Matoli, definitely.
So the thing is, Omaha Beach is going to retire, most likely, without a championship, which is kind of sad and disappointing, because isn't that what we breed horses for, is to be champions? And I think, as a four-year-old, based on what I just saw, man, I think there's not a horse maybe that could touch
him. See, there's not one person in this racing industry that could argue the case with you that he should be retired. Not one single person. But the simple fact of the matter is the deal has been done and he is going to stud. So goodbye, Omaha Beach. Every single person, I think, in this industry, other than perhaps someone with a nice four-year-old who doesn't want to run against him, would love to see him run.
Well, I'd like to see him finish out his career with a bang in the Pegasus, and maybe we'll just be left wondering what could have been.
And, you know, funnily enough, talking to Bob Baffert this morning, Game Winner's back. So he's like, you know, once these horses get back from Saudi, you never know how they're coming back. He goes, I'm going to have a fresh four-year-old next year.
He will.
Yeah. Yes, so Game Winner may take the baton on further. He's back at Santa Anita. But the good thing about Omaha Beach is if you're a fan, you'll probably most likely get to see him each and every day train at Gulfstream Park, because we have our crack team down there with XBTV that will be getting video of him each and every day.
I have a hunch he's going to look good.
I have a hunch he's going to look good,
in
too.
In training, yeah.
All right, let's talk Gift Box.
Yeah.
He took down the San Antonio for a second year running, and this time in much better fashion than last year, 107 by a speed figure, leading every step of the way, winning by 3.5 lengths like he was tied to a tree.
Funny, he never used to be a front-running type of horse, but he's developed that style now. Likes to, you know, kick on with it, and did it in the San Antonio with the 107 career top buyer number. And I was disappointed to learn, although, again, it's not my horse, I don't make these decisions, that Gift Box will not be going back to run in the Pegasus, instead waiting around here in California to clean up, and he will, with the goal this winter, obviously, the San Anita handicap. But, man, I just, you know, he's going to be 7 years old. I don't know. I kind of wish he had given that opportunity. I just...
Well, we know one thing for sure. This is a horse, and Doodle is pitching in here. Yeah.
See, Doodle doesn't like it either.
Yeah, he's throwing
very,
up right
very,
now.
Very upset that he's not going back and taking on Omaha Beach.
He's going the same way he went last year. This is a horse. He's 6 years old. He's only run 18 times. He likes his races spaced out. I'm not going to argue with John Sadler. If he won the San Antonio last year and won the Santa Anita Handicap, that's where he's going this year. What he's going to do.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I kind of wish that he...
Do you remember who ran second in the Pegasus last year? Because I don't. So, no. I mean, what's the point of going somewhere and running second?
Because I don't think he necessarily would have to run second. I think he'd have a chance to give Omaha Beach a run for his money. But obviously, this is a safer way. Dodge the big horse and clean up here in California and worry about the rest of the year. So I can't. I'm just disappointed that he doesn't give the chance. But if I own Giftbox, I'd probably do the same thing John did.
Go the same way. He's lightly raced for a reason, I'm sure. All right, let's talk Bella Fina. I thought she ran well in defeat. She got hounded every step of the way. Victor rode her. He rode her like the best horse. He went to the lead. Perhaps he should have let Mother go, who was intent on the lead. I don't know. I'm not riding him. Flavian Pratt was sick that day, so Victor took over. But she squarely passed the baton to Hard Not to Love, who ran off and hid, coming from dead last under Mike Smith.
Can we, you know, I know people are talking about Bella Fina losing again at 3-5, and she's done that before. So it wasn't shocking that she didn't win, because she's been known to fail when well-backed in the past. But forget Bella Fina now. How about giving credit to Hard Not to Love?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a feeling. I don't know too many people who would even know who she is. Well, maybe they do now, because she's a grade one winner. But she's a three-turning four. She'll be four tomorrow. A hard-spun filly who has now won 4 out of 5 races. She won her first two last year here at Santa Anita, got beaten the Angel Flight, was off after that, came back and won an allowance race and won the La Brea. This is a filly who only has one eye, but she doesn't know it, or maybe she does, but she runs through it for sure. And I thought her win with a 102 buyer number was spectacular. I mean, she came from off the pace and was really impressive in victory. And by the way, she ran 7/8 in 122 flat. That was 33/100 faster than Omaha Beach. Now, I know Omaha Beach wasn't really trying, but still, that was awesome in victory for Hard Not to Love. How good do you think this John Sheriff's filly can be?
I know she's pretty damn good, Siegel, and I've been watching her an awful long time. In fact, I was there at Keelan when she sold for $400,000. When she sold as a yearling, she had two eyes, believe it or not.
Right.
She's a half-tour champion by the name of Wanda Godot, so let's not forget that. I actually backed her first time. She was a daymaker for me first out. And speaking to trainer John Sheriff, he said, maybe it's a good idea. She's only got one eye because she sees everything. Now, she almost didn't get to run in the Grade 1 La Brea. She was very bad going to the gate. And she has this problem in the morning as well. She can't see because she doesn't have an eye. And they actually wear a protective shield over that because John Sheriff's discovered, this is why he's so good, that even though she's missing the eye, when the dirt hits that space where her eyeball was, it hurts.
Yeah, sure.
It basically hurts. So he's got a shield to cover that up and protect it, which enables her to run into the dirt so much better. And that is what's happened. And in the post parade, she couldn't see. So she likes to turn around so she can see. And she was almost refusing to go to the gate. And it took them a long time and two ponies to get her to the starting gate. And it is a credit to Mike Smith for saying, it's all right, guys, I know this filly. We're going to get her to the gate. This is what we've got to do. And trainer John Sheriff for doing a fantastical job with her training. She's now a grade one winner, a half to champion. And I think we're going to see a lot more good things from Hard Not to Love.
How far do you think she can run? Now, she's won on the lead. She did that breaking her maiden. And Hard Not to Love also rallied from last, ninth of nine in the La Brea. So pretty versatile there. She's never been farther than 7/8 of a mile. The hard spuns can certainly go on, and they can handle any kind of surface. So what do you think her upside is?
Well, I mean, Wanda Godot went two turns, and the only thing that really stood in her way was she's incredibly hard to train, incredibly hard on herself in the morning, basically a runoff.
Right.
If you watched her train, she's just leaping. And I think that John Sheriff's over the course of time has done a great job in getting this filly to relax. And watching her run the way she did and how she finished, I see no reason with this pedigree why she can't go two turns. And if you're wondering how she lost her eye, it happened as a two-year-old in a paddock accident.
Okay.
So,
well, yeah, that's the way it was. I mean, she is, I hope that she continues on. Maybe time down the road, she'll hook up with Kafefi. That would be kind of fun for a couple of great three-turning four-year-old fillies.
And Bella Fina, too. I mean, I don't think she lost a whole lot in defeat. She ran hard every step of the way. Mother was third. She was second. And she'll get to fight again. You know, obviously just ran one turn, and she runs much better in Southern California than anywhere else.
Okay, well, I that's fine. Now, a horse who's been in Southern California all his life and will be stepping out of his comfort zone is a suddenly terrific grass horse named Mo Forza. Now, this is a horse who took a long time to break his maiden and finally did so in September of last year, or this year still, finally broke his maiden. That was in his, I think it was his sixth career start, and did that. Then won the Twilight Derby at 18-1. Going back and watching that race, I didn't come to the conclusion it was any kind of fluke. I thought he won that cleverly. Came back in the Hollywood Derby, was knocked down to 5-2, won that. And then he shows up on the Mathis Brothers Mile. Now he's 6-5, and he wins that. So now he's won 4 in a row. Here's the thing, though, and we saw this last year with River Boyne. These three-year-olds who compile a very impressive record on grass, once they become four and they have to face older horses, it's like a whole new ballgame. We saw what happened to River Boyne. He couldn't hack it. He hasn't won since his three-year-old season.
You brought that up a couple of weeks ago, yeah. But he's by Dandy Man. He's more of a 2-3-year-old kind of sire.
Okay, fair enough. Mo Forza, who's my Uncle Mo, now turns 4. Do you think he can continue his level of excellence facing, obviously, older, tougher horses?
I do, especially his running style. He looks like he'll run all day. He's a 3-year-old. He's out of an unusual heat mare. A big kudos to owner, breeder, part owner Barry Abrams, a longtime stalwart out here in Southern California, who basically made Unusual Heat what he was. He owned and bred this horse, so big congratulations to him. I think he's going to have no problem stepping up, and perhaps he'll win the Pegasus.
Well, I'm thinking the way he's been running, and based on the buyer speed figures he's been getting, very, very high 90s, I'm not sure that I know what's out there in the East that can really run with him.
There's no bricks and mortar. We're talking Pegasus turf.
Yeah, obviously. I don't know if they're going to have any Euros fly over for the race or not, but based on my perusal of the currently in training older turf horses, not only here in California but back east, I don't see any reason why Mo Forza can't continue to win. And he could look. The grass division last year, other than bricks and mortar, was like every other race was a different winner. But this is for him to be able to win now 4 in a row. That's pretty impressive. Plus, he's got that great stalking style. He never gets in trouble.
No.
Because he's so versatile. So, for me, Mo Forza, Peter Miller, absolutely doing a great job with Mo Forza. And I think he's got a chance to be a sensational older horse on the grass.
All right. Down here, Rosario. 6 races Saturday and Sunday. Pratt won 0, but I mean, he was sick on Saturday and took off.
I'm not blaming Pratt for winning 0. I'm thinking that Rosario...
Did he put the jockey's race in the bag already off of opening weekend?
I think so. I mean,
tell Derek Lawson that, for goodness sake.
I was talking to Ron Anderson the other day, and I said, now, how long is Joel going to be here? He said, 3 months. Okay. I said, well, let's see. I'm trying to project how many races he's going to win in 3 months, you know. And he's winning 6 in 2 days. So that's like, will he keep this streak up? Probably not. But let's just say he wins on an average of 2 a day. So, I mean, he's going to win several hundred before he leaves. And he's that good. I mean, he really is. I've lost my appreciation of Joel for 2 reasons. Number one, he left town a few years back, and I haven't been watching him as close. And also, I've fallen in love with, you know, Frovney and Pratt, who to me is the next best thing to Joel. But now they get to go head and head, but now it's 6-0 in the first 2 days of the meeting. And I know nobody really cares about who wins the jockey standings, except for the jockeys and their agents. But, I mean, Rosario is like, I mean, he can pick any horse he wants and any 5 that he doesn't.
Joel has the unique knack of just being so relaxed. Like, you could probably ask him on any given day, who's he riding in what race? And he's not going to be able to tell you. It just comes so naturally to him. And that's what makes him so great. A lot of times, and I know from being a former jockey, you can overthink these things. You have to just let the race fall, and things don't always go right. And that's why Joel is so good, because maybe he doesn't have a plan. Maybe he does have a plan, but things just come naturally to him. And I think that is what has made him so good. He went through a little slump when he went back on the East Coast, like after a year or two. And I think maybe he was overthinking things because it came in with all this prowess and was supposed to do this and things didn't go his way. Now he's just back to being Joel.
Well, the other thing is, let's face it, our jockey colony is not as deep as it is, say, in Florida or New York at this stage. It just isn't. And with a fantastic agent in Ron Anderson, who does his homework, knows exactly where he wants to go with his jock and who he wants to ride for, pays attention. And I mean, he's just, he's a joy to watch, really. I mean, maybe from a gambling standpoint, he's going to deflate the odds on some of the horses we like. However, I notice, like, tomorrow and the next couple of days, he's on some live horses that are not 6-5. They may end up 6-5. But
they probably will.
Know, but I think he'll start bouncing the board a little bit. But
so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The new jock that came to town, yeah. Umberto Rispoli,
right.
Who Ron Anderson has as well.
Right.
I watched him opening there on Sunday. I was very impressed.
I was too. In fact, I talked to Ron. I said, that's not a guy to... You know, he's a good spot because now he gets all of Joel's seconds, right? And then
right. The
seconds are better than everybody else's first. So, and I noticed that he's riding for trainers that ride a lot, that Joel rides a lot for, and that he'll pick up those mounts when Joel either isn't available or maybe doesn't want to run the entire card. But anyway, I mean, Joel Rosario back in his finest form. We'll get to enjoy him out here for 3 months. Quite frankly, I wish he never left or never leaves, but I understand why he will. But in the meantime, he is going to be dominant throughout the year. And hopefully Pratt picks it up as well. And we've got two great riders to enjoy.
All right. Well, let's talk a couple of rising stars that happened on opening weekend here at Santa Anita. Firstly, Devil Made Me Do It, trained by Doug O'Neill. Opening race of the day, ran off and hit 4-1 in the morning line. You weren't getting anywhere near to that. He won by 9.5 lengths, Siegel.
He looked really good. And the reason why I liked the race, and we obviously liked him going in, and you liked him as a daymaker, Devil Made Me Do It, is the fact that in watching him breeze at the Ocala sale in June, he went 20-3, fastest work of the sale for a quarter of a mile. He struck me as being a very, very fast colt.
He's fast.
But in this race, he made the lead. He got out of the gate well, and he switched off. He settled down. He went pretty slow the first quarter, 22-2, 45-1. And then he rebroke. And a good horses will do that. They'll show the quickness. They'll switch off midway and then rebreak. They just won't run off, open up, and just, you know, run off the screen. And Devil Made Me Do It did that, winning by 9.5 lengths, 87 by our number for Doug O'Neill. Unfortunately, though, we might not see him again for a little bit.
No, and sending a text message to Doug this morning simply said that he's got a minor injury. They're going to take a little bit of time with him and see where he goes next. He was a $245,000 RNA. Kieran Dunn still owns him in part, and he's going to be just fine, and we will get to see him, but just probably not in the next couple of months.
Well, the thing is, if he were a Derby-type horse, it would be very disappointing, but I think he's primarily a sprinter-miler. Might not be the end of the world for him if he doesn't get that Derby fever. And maybe...
He's a good horse.
Not by choice, but I think maybe in the spring or in the summer, you're going to see a very dominant... I'm not saying he's Mottoli or anything like that, but there's money to be won by fast three-year-olds if they're allowed to do what they want to do, and that's what this colt wants
to
do.
Hey, it's December 31st. Yeah. You know, there's plenty of time, Siegel. There is plenty of time, but Devil Made Me Do It, 87 by a speed figure. That was opening day. Let's turn the page to Sunday, where we saw Venetian Harbor, a two-year-old filly by Mullins, making her second start for Richard Baltus. She just wound up winning by a length, but she was geared down to go 15-3.
Actually, she won by more than a length.
She won, sorry, 10. Sorry.
She won by 11.
Yeah, 11.
Add a one there.
I added one. Yeah, okay. There you go.
And what she did was she earned a 94 by her number. Now, she had been beaten in her debut at Even Money at Del Mar, but that was on the grass going 5/8. And I don't know what the thinking was in that, but they ran her once. Rosario gets the mount and wins by... Again, almost 11 lengths, 10.75, 94 by our number. That's the second highest speed figure earned by a two-year-old filly all year long. She did it like a filly that will run on, even though she's by Munnings, but out of a mare by Street Cry. And to me, we've seen two or three really top two-year-old filly prospects run this year, and I think she's as good as any one that I've seen. Beautifully bred. She's out of a Street Cry mare I mentioned, who was a winner of nearly $300,000 stakes play. Second Dam stakes winning Dixieland band mare named Welcome Home, who produced Pool Winner, who was a multiple stakes winner. You go down to the Fourth Dam of this filly, and it was the legendary Safely Kept. So the pedigree's there. I think she'll get a mile. Munnings is a very solid stallion. Gets a good filly. I'm a Chatterbox being among them. I think there's nothing but blue sky ahead of what I think is a terrific prospect in Venetian Harbor.
And speaking to Richard Baltus this morning, no, she's not for sale. The phone's been ringing off the hook for this filly. She was only $110,000 keen in September. I think she RNA'd at the two-year-old sale for perhaps $200,000. Mm-hmm. But Richard Bolt is very, very pleased with the daughter.
I think you're right about that, yeah.
Yeah, Munnings will get you a racehorse.
Yeah,
not a flashy sales horse, but he will get you a solid racehorse each and every time.
So where do we see Venetian Harbor next? Do they
stretch her out? She'll do the three-year-old series here at Santa Anita.
Okay.
Most likely the Last Virginist.
Okay, that's
February.
A mile. Okay. Yeah. Well, so Richard Bolt has himself an exciting prospect. I think she'll run long. She's kind of like the colt we talked about, Devil Made Me Do It. And she's got a good mind. She can go to the front. She can switch off and relax. Rebreak. Beautiful mover. Venetian Harbor. Put her down. Must watch.
All right. Let's talk stake action before we get to Santa Anita. Let's talk about the 150,000 ungraded Jerome Stakes at Aqueduct. We'll go forward as race number 7. Kentucky Derby points on the line. 10, 4, 2, 1. And looks like we lost a good one when Laddie Liam got a foot injury and was not entered for trainer Contessa. He took down the Maryland Futurity. We've already spoken about him, the son of Golden Lad. But what price do we really think Independence Hall is going to go off? 1-5 in the morning line.
I think he's running against, nobody who can beat him, obviously. But, I mean, he's running for his reputation, really, here. I mean, he is a colt from the first crop of Constitution who's had, 5 or 6 stakes winners already, something like that. I mean, good runners. And Independence Hall won his first start at Parks when nobody knew who he was or anything about him. Shows up and runs in the Nashua. It's going to be kind of amusing to look back, I think, in due time, that he was 9-1 in this race. Kind of like Arrogate being 9-1 in the Travers.
Absolutely.
You know. And he wins this race. And when I watch this race, Independence Hall, I know this is going to sound like it's hyperbole and whatever, but he reminded me very much of the way, I'm not saying he's as good now, he reminded me very much of the way Seattle Slough won the Champagne back in 1976.
Same color.
You don't, no. You go, if you, look, do yourself a favor. Go back and watch the Champagne in 1976. You can see it on YouTube. And watch the way Seattle Slough won that race.
Okay.
And then watch the way Independence Hall won the Nashua. Virtually identical. They were both galloping along in hand. And as soon as they were chirped to at the top of the stretch, you saw an explosion that only champions have. Independence Hall went from a length back, top of the stretch, to winning by 12. And he did that with a 1-1 buyer number. And he did it just fooling around, really, when you think about it. And now he comes back. This was the plan all along for Michael Trombata. This is a colt that trains at Fair Hill. And he's going to show up here and he's going to try a one-turn mile.
Well, originally, wasn't it supposed to be the Remsen? And then they decided he ran such a big number, they wanted to give him time.
Right, exactly. So now he goes to a mile, but it's still a one-turn mile. I was thinking it was a two-turn mile because the old inner track was two-turn. But now it's still a one-turn mile, so he doesn't have to worry about that yet. And he's running against horses that can't warm him up. And I'm really going to be very interested tomorrow to see just how much, if any, progress Independence Hall has made since last seen 2 months ago in the Nashua. Seems like he's trained very nicely. It's going to be an eye-opener for a colt that I think has a chance to be a superstar. Now, I haven't been as excited about a colt like this in a while.
And you're excited.
I am excited, and I hope he fulfills his potential and gives us a star to hang our hat on. So watching Independence Hall tomorrow on the 7th race at Aqueduct, post time 3:55 Eastern. It's to Jerome. And he will go about his business at 1-9, and I just want to see how he does it and how much effort he has to spend.
You know, Siegel, I'm seeing a little bit of a pattern here. We talked about Venetian Harbor, who RNA'd for about 200 at the two-year-old sale. Devil Made Me Do It was an RNA at the June two-year-old sale. Independence Hall was an RNA, I think 200,000 at the April two-year-old sale. Mm-hmm. Is it a fact that maybe we're a little too hard on these horses at the two-year-old sale? Because all of these horses, apparently nobody wanted, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was for a vet issue or what it was, but here they are.
Could be. I mean, you've got, for example, Devil Made Me Do It is by Daredevil, who I think has already been exported. This is a colt by a Constitution who stood last year for $15,000. He's the next Tappet, maybe. I mean, I don't know. He's the son of Tappet. So maybe the pedigree prevented people from jumping on board. I don't know. All I can tell you is I wish I had been that smart enough to know exactly how good these horses are. I mean, you go to the sales, you buy. I mean, you should have been there. You should have been had your hand up. You know, you should have known.
C'est la vie. What
yeah,
can I say?
I know. I don't know.
I think maybe we're just too hard on them at the
maybe.
Two-year-old sales.
You know, it's easy after the fact, but we'll see. I mean, in the meantime, Eclipse Thoroughbreds, they may have an Eclipse Award winner next year. In an Independence Hall, and hopefully he does what he's supposed to do.
All right, stakes. Opening day, in fact, New Year's Day here, Wednesday at Santa Anita, the Grade 2 Joe Hernandez, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Looks like a really kind of even race. Legends of War is in here. He's worked well. What about Blitzkrieg coming in for trainer Doug O'Neill? They tried him in the Gold Cup going 1.25 miles, and now he shortens back up on the grass.
I haven't heard anything. I haven't talked to Doug. This is a horse that's been training at San Luis Downs, kind of out of sight and out of mind. I didn't even know he was actually back in training until he was entered, because I don't watch the San Luis Downs workouts as much as, you know, I look at the tab sometime, but that's about it. But this horse was a spectacular horse last year after being claimed for $25,000, won a starter race, won an allowance race. We were up there to see him win the San Francisco Mile with a 99 buyer number. And then they tried to step out of their comfort zone, and in retrospect, not really a wise decision. He was unplaced in the Gold Cup, and then he kind of got banged up a little bit and was turned out. But his works at San Luis Downs indicate that he's ready, and I'd love to see this Warfront gelding come back as well as he left. Blitzkrieg, one of several contenders in a full field of the Joe Hernandez. Of course, the Joe Hernandez Stakes, named after the first longtime track announcer here at Santa Anita. For those of you old enough to remember Joe Hernandez and remember his race calls, it was like listening to an opera singer. He was just so rhythmic and he was one of my favorite. No, he was my favorite announcer of all time, Joe Hernandez. But anyway, glad to see that they've named a race after him, and a good race at that, a Grade 2. You looked at the race, Blitzkrieg. Anybody else you like in this race that you think has a chance to win?
Legends of War has been working very, very well. I know some people may be looking at Wasu de Guerre for trainer Michael McCarthy. He's kind of woke up since going up to Golden Gate. He took 3 in a row. He's worked very well. I think it's wide open. I mean, why can't True Valor win at 7-2 for trainer Simon Callahan? He ran better than looked in the Breeders' Cup Mile, beaten only 6 lengths.
You know, one of the angles I like to use from handicapping is when a horse returns to what I think is his best distance. If you look at True Valor, he's been a miler most of his life, but he can sprint.
Yes.
As he did, he won a group three at Leopardstown back in June, 7/8 left-handed. That's kind of like the way we run it here. And I'm not so sure True Valor might be as good, if not better, sprinting as he is over a distance of ground. He did win the City of Hope Mile, but at 7-2 for Simon Callahan, True Valor to me is a major contender. I think Peter Miller's Texas Wedge coming in from Churchill, I think he's got a chance as well. This is a heck of a race. Very good competitive turf sprint, and you know, sometimes we get spoiler, we get disappointed that our stakes races are on small fields. This one's a good gambling race, so whoever you like, it's going to be interesting. That's tomorrow at Santa Anita, the 8th race, Joe Hernandez.
And just a reminder, this weekend, not only at Santa Anita Park, but also at Gulfstream Park, we do have, yes, we're talking Kentucky Derby preps with the Grade 3 Sham at Santa Anita and the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream Park.
There's a colt, I guess he's supposed to run named Chance It.
In the Mucho Macho Man?
In the Mucho Macho Man. He won the Florida Stallion in reality in his last start back in September at Gulfstream by more than 7 lengths. Sometimes these Florida Reds, they step out and they get exposed a little bit, but I think this colt's pretty good. They will draw entries for that tomorrow, so we'll be very much interested in seeing how that goes. That's a one-turn mile, the Mucho Macho Stakes. Now, here in California, we have the Sham Stakes. It was 1973, New Year's Day, I remember, because I was here. Very, very windy day that day, when Sham made his Southern California debut. He had run a couple times in New York. He won an allowance race from here to, I don't know, Monrovia, after which I said out loud to anybody who would listen, that's going to be this year's Kentucky Derby winner.
Listen to you.
And I would have been right if he had been born in a different year than Secretariat. But we still honor Sham with a very important stakes race coming up this Saturday. And in the Sham Stakes, there is a colt that I am really interested in seeing, Zoe. His name is Honor AP for John Sheriffs, who they kind of gave him a sprint first time out at Del Mar. Then he broke his maiden going long during the fall meeting, won that race by 5 lengths. I know Mike Smith thinks this colt can carry him a long way. Your impressions of Honor AP, what do you expect to see from him Saturday in the Champs?
He's beautiful, and he's done it all already. He's had dirt in his face. His debut going 6 furlongs was extraordinary. He didn't win that day, but he was second, got a great education. Mm-hmm. First time around, 2 turns at Santa Anita. He won by 5 with Smith just high in the irons. I think he's a good colt. They paid for the pedigree. They paid $850,000 for him from the first crop of Honor Code out of that wonderful mare, Hollywood Story. I mean, need you say any more?
No, you don't. And other than the fact that I'm really interested to see, he might be worth the price of admission alone on Saturday just to see, a future star. Now, all of these two turning threes are all future something. You know, sometimes they make it, sometimes they don't. But I have a hunch Honor AP, and I've watched him breeze in the morning, slow and easy. He covered so much ground. I mean, impressive. And so can't wait to see how he performs this Saturday here at Santa Anita in the featured Sham Stakes.
We do hope you'll join us this weekend at Santa Anita and, of course, New Year's Day. First post, 11:30 a.m. for a 10-race card. For Jeff Siegel, I'm Zoe Cadman. Happy New Year.